Tvachim Perkir Gimel, Mishnah Base 13:2. So even though the topic of these remaining chapters is Shechita and Ha'ala B'chutz, we're going off topic for just a moment here, because since the previous Mishnah had talked about a machlokus between the Chum and Rabbi Yose Glili, and the structure is very similar to a different, like the conceptual structure of that machlokus is very similar to a different machlokus in the Chacham and Rabbi Yose Glili, we're going to bring up that machlokus as well. So we're going off topic here for a moment. And the topic here we're talking about is the restrictions of eating kudshim in a state of tumah. So now, there are two separate prohibitions of the Torah. One iser is that a person who himself is tamei may not eat kudshim. And the penalty for eating kudshim for a person who himself is tamei is an iser karis, it's severe. And if one does it, b'shogeg, you know, not knowing what he's doing and intending to violate. So then, this is one of the cases where you have the ola v'yored, the variable chata. So if he can afford it, he brings a female goat or sheep. If he can't afford that, however, he brings two birds, either b'nei yonah or a tur, and one's brought as an ola, one's brought as chata. So if he can't afford even that, he brings just solas, like fine flour, and two birds as a minchas chote. So that's if he himself is tummy. There's a separate restriction from the Torah, which is when kachim becomes tamei, one may not eat it, even if he himself is tahor. Now that is also an issur from the Torah, but that issur is a generic lav. Pasuk says v'habasar shayiga b'chol tamei lo ye'achel, if it becomes tamei by contact with someone which is tamei, so then it may not be eaten, but no karis penalty, because the other pasuk, the first pasuk says v'hanefesh sher tochel basar mizbeach hashlamim asher l'Hashem. A person who eats from the meat of a shlamim offering, it's going to be expanded from elsewhere, that's to Hashem, but tumaso alav, and he has a tumah that's on him, some which could be removed, but it's not, he has not the mikveh, whatever it is, then v'nichrasa nefeshahi me'ameha, then that person will have karas, he'll be cut off from his people. So, if he is tameh, penalty karas. If the food is tameh, then it's a generic lav, which means if he doesn't get karas, and if there would be two witnesses who there saw and warned him, don't do that, and he did anyways, then he would be liable to lashes. Okay? Now, with that background, look at the Mishnah side here. The Mishnah really kind of parallels the previous Mishnah. It says, Tamei she'achal, if a person is tamei, he himself is tamei, and he eats kudshim, bein kodesh tamei, whether that kudshim is already tamei, or bein kodesh tahor, or whether it had been tahor before, doesn't matter. Chayev. He's chayev for bringing a chatas ol v'yored. He's chayev karas. Okay? Severe. Rabbi Yose Glili Omer, no. Tamei she'achal tahor, chayev. If a tamei person eats tahor kajim, yes, then he's chayev karas. However, v'tamei she'achal tamei, but if he eats him which already was tamei, meaning that the food became, the kajim became tamei, before he himself, the person, became tamei. So then, pator, then he is exempt. Shelo achal ela davar tamei, because he only ate something which already was tamei. Now, the Amrulo, the rabbis respond back to him, kind of paralleling what we saw in the previous Mishnah. What do you mean? Af tamei she'achal tahor, even if he was a tamei person eating a tahor thing. Kevin shenaga bo, timahu, as soon as he touches it, it's going to become tamei. So anyways, how are you going to get around that? And therefore, say the Chachamim, a person should be liable for karas whether the kachim he ate was tamei before or only after he came into contact with it. Doesn't make a difference. Okay? Now, the machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yose Glili, as we see in our Mishnah here, is based on a misunderstanding of the Chacham of what Rabbi Yose Glili held. They thought he held that the reason why you're getting karas is because you are essentially, you know, ruining the kudshim, okay? You're decodishifying it or something like that. And that's your crime. But if it had already been decodishified, it already was tamei, it wasn't, you know? So then, you're not, at that point, subject to the issur of karas anymore. That was how they misunderstood Rabbi Yose Glili. However, that is not what he was holding at all. The issue at hand here is the notion of what's called ein issur chal ala issur. There's a general principle, which is if something is forbidden, already, so it can't be forbidden again a second time. Okay, and that's where basically the holds. So therefore, it says, listen, this food became tamei, it's kachem, I should say, became tamei first, so it becomes now forbidden to this guy to eat it. So even if he was tahor now, he's already forbidden to him. So when he becomes tameh, it's still forbidden to him. Nothing new happened. And since there's no isser, chal isser, a second isser can't devolve onto it already. The first isser is all there is. The first isser was an isser malchus, just for lashes, because the food was tameh. And there's no second isser now of him, that if he eats it, he gets a chi of karis, because he is a tameh person eating it. That's the position of Rosh Glili. Now, the Chacham agree with the principle that in Isser Chal Isser, once something's Usher, you can't make it Usher again. However, they say that depends, it's limited, because there's the notion of what's called Isser Kolel. If another Isser comes into play, and that second Isser is more expansive, it's more inclusive than the original one, and it brings in new elements, so then like it can catch the first thing for a second layer of Isser. So in other words, when this piece of particular piece of kachim was tame, it for sure was forbidden to our guy when he was tahor. But when that our guy becomes tame, now all kachim becomes forbidden to him. So since all kachim becomes forbidden to him, it's kolel, it's more inclusive. It can also include the already tame kachim, not just the tahor, but also the tame kachim as well. And there kind of then can be two layers of iser. So although it's true in general in iser chala iser, there is a notion of, if the second Isser is kolel, it's additive, so it can then indeed affect the second layer of Isser. So that's what the Chacham say over here. So although the dialogue doesn't reflect that, it's clear from the Gemara that's what's happening here. Their dialogue is based on a misunderstanding of what Rabbi Yosef Glili held. Rabbi Yosef Glili holds, actually, in Isser Chala Isser is like an absolute rule and doesn't allow for an Isser Kol to add a second layer. Chacham disagree. They say an Isser Kol does add a second layer. Therefore, the Machlokas, the Halach is like the Chachamim. And therefore, if a person who's Tamei eats kachim, whether that kachim was tame or tahor before he became tame, it makes no difference. He is liable to karis if he did it by mazid, and bishogi he brings the olav yorid. Now the Mishnah is going to give one other example before it wraps up of a case where everyone's going to agree that there's no chi of karis here. Okay, and that is the tahor she'achal tame. If the person doing the eating he himself was tahor, but he's eating kachim that was tame. So then, Pator, he'll be exempt from Karis. He's still doing an Isser, a Lav, and he could potentially even be Chayev for Malkus if he had a warning, but there's no Karis issue. She'enu Chayev ela al Tumas Haguf. You're only Chayev, only obligated for Karis if you yourself, your person is Tame, not just the food is being Tame. Okay, and since this guy's person, himself, wasn't Tame, so therefore he won't be liable to Karis.